The House please come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
40 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No member is excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Sister Patrick, presentation of the sisters.
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life and the beginning of another day. May this day be spent in service for others. The work you have given this governing body is indeed awesome. May it be executed with discretion and honesty and for the good of all. May your spirit of goodness prevail in these chambers with a sincere thoughtfulness for mankind. The laws of our land are truly based on charity and equality, and may these marks be the basis for your work this day and every day of the legislative session. May the Lord bless each of you and your family members, and continue to give you the necessary graces to carry out your duties. We make this prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Representative Fritz.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. This brings us to introduction of guests. This brings us to certification of the journal. Will clerk please certify the journal for the 50th and 51st legislative days?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 50th and 51st days in House Supplement Number 21.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 50th and 51st days and House Supplement Number 21 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to introduction of guests. Are the guests for introduction, Representative Cato?
Mr. Speaker, I note in the back row of Gallery B an old-time friend and the fire chief of the City of Valdez. I'd like to have you welcome with me Tom McAllister.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B is a friend of mine and a former opponent in the last election, and she very may well fill this position one of these days, and I'd like to give you all a rousing welcome to Kay Waller.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Gallery B's longtime friend of mine and Representative Ringstad's from Fairbanks, Bill Green.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to steal a march on Representative Davis and introduce one of his constituents, my daughter, Gina Newman.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce two people in Gallery A. Don Penner, the Administrative Assistant to the Bristol Bay Borough and NAFNIC. And then in Gallery B, Kevin Ray, who works with EMS for the Aleutian Pribilof Island Association.
Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce I'd like to steal the march on Mr. Kopanen and introduce Gina's husband, Gary Newman.
Representative Wente.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B from Alaska's first city, Marty Paulson, Ketchikan.
Representative Cowdery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to make the body make welcome to a very good family friend of mine from Long Beach, California, who's here going to bring us some sunshine with their beautiful smile, Desi Kett and their son Jimmy.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for introduction. It gives me a great pleasure to introduce three persons from Anchorage, Ken Kurt, Bunny Jack, and Bill Blessington in Gallery A.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm probably stealing somebody's thunder from Anchorage, but in Gallery A is a gentleman that I served with in the National Guard for several years, Colonel John Spaulding.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A person has just walked in Gallery A. I'd like to introduce to you from Delta Junction, Reverend Bob Carpenter.
Are there further guests? Representative Pessinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to use this opportunity to thank Juanita Cowdery and her daughter Pamela for the help that they gave me during my campaign as a freshman campaigner. Thank you very much.
Representative Duncan. House, please stand at ease. Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate approved the following citation and it is transmitted for consideration. In memoriam F.J. Joe Keenan by Senators Josephson, Curtula, Bick Fisher, Ziegler, and Rohde. The Senate has passed House Bill number 166, making special and supplemental appropriations for oil and gas matters effective date with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 166 rules, effective date failed Senate with the same title, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 96, Finance by the Finance Committee. An act reducing a fiscal year 1983 appropriation and making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for inoculations for hepatitis B and providing for an effective date.
The Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 96 is referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other communications?
There is a communication from Raymond J. Benish, Director of Finance for the Alaska Power Authority, attaching a report to the legislature on the status of the Rural Electrification Revolving Loan Fund. This has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk, and it will be on file in the clerk's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Transportation has had House Bill 98 under consideration. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for construction of a four-lane highway from the south end of Aklutna Flats to the Palmer-Wasilla Junction under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 98, Transportation, with a new title, recommends that it do pass and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by M.W. Miller, Vice Chairman, concurred in by M.W. Miller, Phillips, Locker, Szymanski, Davis, and Herman. Signing no recommendation, abood. House Bill 98 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 106 relating to Alaska bidder preference under consideration and recommends that it do pass and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Cowdery, Schultz, and Furness. Signing no recommendation, Larson. Vasca signed, do not pass, it raises the cost of government. House Bill 106 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 161, establishing a defeasance fund in the Department of Revenue for the purpose of retiring state general obligation debt, transferring a portion of the income of the Alaska Permanent Fund to the defeasance fund under consideration and recommends that it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Furness, Cowdery, and Schultz. Signing no recommendation, Larson and M.M. Miller. Vasca signed do not pass. House Bill 161 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 188 relating to big game hunting for non-residents under consideration, recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Schultz, co-chairman, and they also attached two fiscal notes. The report was signed by Gall, Schultz, Cowdery, Liska, Larson, and Ringstead. Mr. Vasca has no recommendation. House Bill 188 has a further referral to Judiciary. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on Fisheries has had committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 7 resources relating to the imposition of a halibut moratorium and the establishment of a share system for halibut in Alaska under consideration, and it is reported back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mrs. Herman, Chairman, signing do pass, Herman and Grusendorf. Signing no recommendation, McBride and Bussell. Zaharoff signed amend to include House Joint Resolution 10. Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 7 has a further referral to resources. The House Special Committee on State Loans has had House Bill 15, eligibility for commercial fishing loans under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 15, loans with the new title, recommends that it do pass, attaches a letter of intent and two fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Euling, Chairman, concurred in by Euling, Wente, Ward, Furness, and Kopanen. House Bill 15 has a further referral to resources. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring William H. Scott by Representative Hayes. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill 241 by Martin. An act relating to the creation of the Alaska Athletic Commission and the regulation of combative sports.
House Bill 241 is referred to the Labor and Commerce and Finance Committees.
House Bill 242 by Herman by request. An act making an appropriation to the Fishery Industrial Technology Center for salmon quality control education and providing for an effective date.
House Special Committee on Fisheries, Resources, and Finance.
House Bill 243 by Phillips, Malone, and Kopanen. An act relating to daycare assistance for parents of developmentally disabled children.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 244 by Locker. An act relating to the relocation of utility facilities incident to the construction of highway projects by a municipality and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Transportation.
House Bill 245 by M.M. Miller, Malone, Duncan, Schultz, and Kopanen. An act authorizing an advisory vote on the continuation of the Permanent Fund Dividend Distribution Program, AS 4323, and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 245 is referred to the State Affairs Committee. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to draw attention to the members that a letter has been distributed from three of the five sponsors on that legislation to you explaining what the purpose of that House Bill 245 is. It would call for a general, a advisory vote at the next general election on the matter of what we should do with our permanent fund dividend plan, that is, whether we should abandon the cash dividend plan or not. We would, of course, invite additional sponsors for that legislation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to the end of introduction, first reading, and references of bills and the consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Phillips, did you wish the floor?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I can see the intent of this letter, but I just want to make an objection that's in the second paragraph about this is bore out by mail and to legislators and newspapers by overwhelming testimony and teleconferences and by the trend of public opinion polls, insinuating that at least my folks in my district support the DIDVAN program. And according to my questionnaire results, I don't see that.
I'm going to ask Representative Miller to save his response to special orders, which is the appropriate place to comment on letters and other items not specifically on today's calendar. Will clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 224 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the Board of Nursing. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 224 under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Pestinger, Flood, Ward, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Martin, Adams, and Bettesworth. There was a Labor and Commerce transmittal letter on page 324 of the journal. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Fuller. Page 1, line 11, add a new section to read. Section 2, this act takes effect immediately in accordance with AS 11070C.
Representative Fuller, maybe it be appropriate for you to move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 224 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill 224 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the Board of Nursing and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 224, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
40 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 224, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 224 amended be shown as the effective date clause.
Is there objection?
Objection, only for the reason. Question. At ease.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller, did you wish the floor?
No, thank you.
We have a Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on my vote, House Bill 224.
First, do we have a motion before us that the vote on the passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. And so I'll rule you out of order, your reconsideration. Is there objection to the motion before us? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of my vote on reconsideration, my vote of 224.
Notice of reconsideration has been given for the benefit of the body, the on line 6, that under the title, it's an act relating to the Board of Nursery should include and providing for an effective date, and the easiest procedure at this time is to give notice of reconsideration. When it comes back before us on Friday, in third reading, you can amend the title, and that's the purpose. The clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citation honoring Jerry White by Senator Ferguson and Representative Adams.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar to unfinished business. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration for committee substitute for House Bill 31, an act providing for exemption of the residence of a disabled veteran from levy and collection of real property taxes, be taken up on Monday instead of today.
The reconsideration would be held over until Monday?
Monday, the 14th, I believe it is.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Further unfinished business, Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease. Mike. Before the at ease, we were under unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill Number 166, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute rules for House Bill Number 166, and ask the members to vote no.
For the, there is a motion before us. For the information of the body, there is a message to the House, which should be on your desk. The clerk read the message, and maybe the it might be appropriate that Majority Leader explain the procedure here for the benefit of those who haven't had the opportunity to experience this. This is the first time we've dealt with a message from the Senate dealing with an amendment to a bill we sent them. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the benefit of the body, when the House passes a bill, it goes to the other body. If that bill is amended, they send it back to the House with a message asking us to concur in the House amendments, the other body's amendments. From time to time, we might concur, and at that point, the Majority Leader would ask the members of the Majority Caucus to vote yes. In this instance, I have asked you to vote no because we don't concur with the Senate amendments, and from time to time, the Minority Leader will make a different recommendation to the members of the minority.
Again, for the information of the body, since there is a motion before us, would be my intention, in the event the body fails to adopt the Senate amendment, to appoint today a conference committee to deal with a like committee in the other body in the event they fail to recede from their amendments. We have before us a motion, and unanimous consent has been asked. Is there objection?
Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Yep. Mr. Speaker, I appreciate having a recommendation on how I should vote on the bill, but what would be the reasons behind the recommendation?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bill has been amended in the other body. I've recommended that we vote no, that we not concur, so this bill would be sent back and ask them to recede. If they refuse, the purpose would be to establish a conference committee to work out the differences between the two bills.
Representative Clarkson.
What are the differences between the two bills?
The differences between the two bills is, one, the other body added a Section 4, which is a $240,000 appropriation, a Section 5, which is a $100,000 appropriation, and the effective date failed.
Representative Miller.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker, perhaps not point of order, but just an advisory. I suggest that we have a roll call on this. In fact, I think we're probably obligated to, because this could be the last vote on this measure in this House. I think it probably
true.
Will not be,
yes.
So I think a roll call vote is required.
Right. Thank you, Representative Moore. That is the case. And Representative Malone?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would recommend a no vote on the legislation as well. The reason being is that the collapse of the effective date in the bill, I think, might impede the ability of the government to carry out the purposes of the legislation.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 166, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 166 rules with the effective date failed in the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote?
Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
1 yes, 39 nays.
So the House has failed to concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 166. And in the event the Senate fails to recede from those amendments, this time I'm going to appoint a conference committee consisting of Representative Bettesworth, Chairman, Representative Barnes, and Representative Davis. Is there further unfinished business, Representative Gall?
Mr. Speaker, could we return for a moment to the introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Gall.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, we have with us today one of the longtime leaders of the city of Angoon, Mr. Matthew Fred. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask unanimous consent that HCR 14 be taken up on Friday's calendar. That's HCR 14 is extending the life of the Regional Attendance Area Budget Oversight Committee.
Where is that bill now, Representative Davis?
It's up for reconsideration today, Mr. Speaker.
In other words, your motion is that reconsideration be held over until Friday?
That's correct, Mr. Speaker.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the reconsideration will be held over until Friday. Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, might we again revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, since the beginning of the session, the members have had available to them a copy of a daily newspaper that's published on the Kenai Peninsula, in the city of Kenai, the Peninsula Clarion. It's had news not only of the peninsula, but other news in the state, and I, of course, as a member from that district, have found that very convenient to have that, and I'm sure the other members do as well. It's, at least I get comments from other members on what appears in the Kenai Peninsula Clarion. And Representative Fritz and I in the House is fortunate to have today with us the editor of the Kenai Peninsula Clarion and the general manager, respectively, in Gallery B, Mr. John Mars and Mr. Wayne Dunsworth. And I'd like to introduce them to the House and thank them.
Representative Ringstad?
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business.
Under unfinished business, Representative Ringstad?
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee referral on HB 15, an act relating to commercial fishing loans, be waived. The bill has had several hearings and meetings with the Fish Committee and the Loans Committee, and I think it's been adequately addressed.
What would be the next committee of referral? That'd be rules, I believe, right?
That's a rule.
Representative Clarkson? The House, please stand at ease. Two people want to be recognized. I believe that Representative Ringstad wanted to announce that bill does go to Finance Committee rather than Rules. It does have a further Standing Committee referral. And Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I objected to the motion to waive the bill, and I did it because, not that I know anything about that individual bill, but I am concerned as a procedural matter that this body may be slipping into the habit of using the waiver procedure in lieu of a vote in committee on a bill that's really legitimately within the jurisdiction of that committee. I've now found out about this bill. I have no objection because of some time constraints on that particular bill, but I guess I would just caution the body not to use the waiver procedure as an end run around a committee that has jurisdiction over the legislation. With that, Mr. Speaker, I'd withdraw my objection.
Representative Ringstad, would you restate your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Prior to doing that, this is the response. We have, the Resources Committee has been working with the fisheries people, and we've been staying on top of those, and we're on specific cases where the timing is such, we're going to try and accommodate by waiving referrals, but we're watching that closely so we don't just get in the habit of waiving everything. We do want to pay attention. We do want to stay on top of them. As a restatement, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that the resources referral on HB 15, an act relating to the commercial fishing loans, be waived.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there other unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Miller.
Chairman, Mr. Speaker, I move that Representative Escobar be excused from the call on Friday, March 11th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Vasquez excused on the date requested. One item of unfinished business I'd like to deal with at this time is I'd like to add a committee referral to House Bill 223, an act relating to methods for the payment of overtime and providing for an effective date. The committee referral I'd like to add is Labor and Commerce Committee, so that now the bill will go first to Labor and Commerce and then to Judiciary. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Wendy? House, please stand at ease. Make no. While we're still under unfinished business and under the just having finished adding an additional committee assignment to House Bill 223, I apparently have put those committees in the wrong order. So without objection, I'd like to change the referral to for House Bill 223 first to Judiciary and then to Labor and Commerce. There's no objection, so instruct the clerk. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Miller?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I have additional excuse requests. I move that Representative Wente be excused from the call on Friday, March 11th, and that Representative Kopanen be excused from the call on Monday, March 14th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the members will be excused on the dates requested. Is there other unfinished business to come before the body? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Cato?
Mr. Speaker, the House Transportation Committee will continue for Thursday and Friday of the DOT overview with Commissioner Casey. This is at 8:30 in the morning, and we'd appreciate anyone coming that would like to. Thank you.
Representative Ewling.
Yes, tomorrow the House Committee on State Loans is going to have HB 229, an act relating to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Meeting is set for 10 a.m. Belt's room, and that's tomorrow.
Representative Furnish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Labor and Commerce will continue hearings and deliberation on House Bill 141 and 142, an act relating to appropriation for the Iditarod Trail. This would be tomorrow morning, 310-83 at 845, room 210, Burns.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On March 15th at 9 a.m. in the Senate Finance, we'll have a joint Senate and House Finance meeting, and we're going to discuss past capital projects.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 202, which is an increasing the liquor tax, will be heard this afternoon in State Affairs. Will be a statewide teleconference. I've just been notified that the Alaska Radio Network is requested through the legislative teleconference to for permission to record the entire hearing for this bill that's coming up this afternoon. Thank you.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a meeting tomorrow of the Interior Delegation at 12 noon at in the Butchovich Room. All members are invited.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Republican luncheon today is at 12 noon in the Baranoff, and I'm sorry I don't know who the speaker is today.
Representative Abood.
Mr. Speaker, I very seldom belong to an organization that wants me to speak. However, I am the speaker today.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under announcements, there will be a Democratic caucus following adjournment.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a majority coalition caucus at 5 this evening.
Further announcements, Representative Phillips.
The Joint Committee on Legislative Reform will be meeting tomorrow at 12 noon in the Belt Room.
Further announcements, Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was waiting for the majority leader to do this, but apparently she overlooked it. There is a birthday today in the body. One of our pages, who's right now right behind me, Kelly Keene, we should wish her happy birthday.
Are there further announcements? Special orders, Representative Miller.
Points raised by the representative from Eagle River.
You have the floor, Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, earlier when I made mention of this letter and indeed passed it out, the representative did mention that in his district the polls run apparently contrary to what we indicate in this letter. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make reference then to this letter and give you the thinking of the at least the three individuals who signed this letter, and indeed I imagine by all the members who are co-sponsoring this legislation. Mr. Speaker, first of all, we mentioned several sources of input from our constituents. Mail to legislators, I don't know about the rest of you, I haven't even checked with the rest of you, but I know in my case the overwhelming response by mail is to leave the permanent fund cash distribution system exactly as it is right now. So far, and this, of course, by saying this, I'll probably end up getting some mail that I would not have otherwise gotten, but so far I have received one letter contrary to changing the thing. Every other letter has said leave the permanent fund distribution system, that is the cash distribution, in place. If all of us read the newspapers, which are provided for us by the newspapers across the state, I don't think there's any question. The letters to the editor, the comments that are made by the people in informal polls by the newspapers, again, just absolutely overwhelming in this area. They're in favor of leaving the cash distribution system, the people's portion of the permanent fund, in place. I don't know how many of the members here dropped in from time to time to hear the teleconferences on this subject, but once again, the message and the percentages are exactly the same. Overwhelming. I mean, not by a factor of, 10% or 12%, but 60 and 70% or 80% or more of the people who responded from all areas of the state, urban, rural, big cities, small cities, all over the place, were solidly in favor of retaining the permanent fund exactly as we have it right now. And finally, the area that was mentioned by the member from Eagle River, the trend of public opinion polls. Mr. Speaker, you apparently had privy information to a poll that was taken by a pollster here in the state, and that indicated that at least that one pollster showed that 30% of the people wanted the dividends left in place. What was very interesting about that, and was brought out by the representative from Anchorage, was that an additional 26% of the people didn't want the money spent. They wanted it reinvested. In other words, the majority of the people, even in that poll, did not want us politicians to get our cotton picking hands on the money. Mr. Speaker, in a few minutes, my colleague from Juneau will give you some additional information that has not been previously released on a poll that was taken statewide, not as scientific as some of the others perhaps, but nevertheless very revealing, that again shows that there is a substantial and a majority sentiment in this state for retaining the cash dividends exactly as they are. Now, there's only one way to really answer the question, and indeed the question raised by the representative from Eagle River is legitimate. There's only one way we can really know for sure. We can take polls, we can take soundings, we can read newspapers, so we're blue in the face, and we're still not going to know really what the people of Alaska think about how their portion, the people's portion of the permanent fund should be spent. Only the people should have that decision-making power. We're not actually, in what we're proposing, we're not even quite giving them the power, because constitutionally we've got a problem. But the least we can do
is take an advisory vote at the next statewide general election, which will draw the most people, draw on the most people in the state in the process, and we're going to let the people themselves tell us, yes, we like to decide ourselves how our money is going to be spent, whether for college educations or for new clothes or paying medical bills or house payments or whatever. Or they may very well say, yes, you elected officials, we elected you for this, you tell us how you want our money spent. And if they do, I'll be first in line to co-sponsor a bill to change the procedure. But, Mr. Speaker, I think this type of legislation is the only way, a vote of the people themselves is the only way we're going to really know how the people feel on this issue. Ordinarily, I don't go, as you may remember from prior discussions on this floor, Mr. Speaker, ordinarily I'm not all that crazy about having non-binding polls, so to speak, at the official voting place of the people. But in this case, I think an advisory vote is called for because we're talking about money that's really coming out of the pocket of our the voters. And I think in this almost unique instance, the only fair and decent and logical way we can handle this is to let the people have their say. And that's why, at least at the last count, five of us were sponsoring this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will, may I please, floor speak on the bill introduced and the topic that Representative Miller was referring to?
You have the floor, Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to give some information to the body, as Representative Miller indicated, which does deal with the question of the Permanent Fund Dividend Program. As he stated, the information that I'm going to be relating wasn't done necessarily in a scientific poll, but was done on a statewide basis. And a number of people did respond, and I think probably it's just as scientific as perhaps a survey that you mail out to your constituents and you only select few return those surveys, or perhaps it's just as scientific as a poll which included only 300 people as the previous poll that was referred to did. This poll was done by a group of individuals who call themselves American Opinion Associates, Mr. Speaker, and they have done polls for a number of people during the last election. In fact, they did a poll here in Juneau. They did one elsewhere in the state and on a statewide basis, and quite honestly, that poll was very accurate, both on a local level and on some statewide races. Mr. Speaker, they completed this poll. It was a supermarket survey, and I'm sure we've all had supermarket surveys done. There's nothing scientific about them. You line up people, you go to a supermarket, you stand there, you hand out a questionnaire, people mark their responses and give it back to you, but it's random. And you don't get people filling out two or three and stuffing mailboxes with them because you do it on one evening only at that in a community, and that takes care of it. Speaker, it was done on a statewide basis in various communities across the state from the period of time of 17th of February to the 1st of March. They contacted 4,557 people throughout the state of Alaska. Of that 4,557 individuals surveyed at the supermarket, 61%. 2,759, 61% said, continue the permanent fund dividends. Continue the permanent fund dividend program. By community, and I'll go through this very rapidly, it varied, as we might expect. Ketchikan, 62% wanted to continue the dividend program. In Kotzebue, very small survey, only 39 people surveyed, but in Kotzebue, 48% wanted to continue the dividend program. In Mat-Su, 42% wanted to continue the survey. In the Kenai area, 67% said keep our dividends coming. Anchorage, 62% said keep our dividends coming. In Juneau, 56%, and Fairbanks, 49%. Again, not very scientific. One other interesting sidelight to this was after that question was asked, the question was then asked of those who said no, if you don't want your dividends, what do you want to do with it? And there were three choices given. Do you want to use it on capital projects, public education, or revenue sharing? 13% of the people surveyed said, let's use it on revenue sharing. 38% said capital projects. And Mr. Speaker, for those of you who may be thinking about doing away with the dividends, 49% said if you do away with the dividends, put the money into public education.
Mr. Speaker, again, this may not be a scientific poll, but I dare say it's probably as scientific as anything that you would do on a district basis where you just mail out a questionnaire, and those who are really interested return it, those who aren't throw it away. And with the size of the survey, 4,557, it probably comes as close as a survey of 300 people that was done by a professional pollster. I guess the bottom line on this is that I don't think anyone really knows at this time. You can conduct all kinds of surveys, all kinds of polls, and they're all going to say something different. And I think that's only one more reason why the bill that Representative Miller, Malone, and I and several others introduced today should be addressed, and the question should be put on the best poll possible, the ballot, at the next general election. Thank you.
Representative Fuller?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we could go back to introduction of guests. In Gallery B, I have two friends of mine from back home, Morris Kuzrick and Edward Kakar. National Council President.
President Fuller?
And while I got the floor, may we go back to announcements? And the update on the Iditarod race is Cowboy Smith is in McGrath, expected to take his 24-hour layover. Susan Butcher is also in McGrath. And out of Nicolai are Epp Anderson, Dave Olson, Dave Munson, Dwayne Halverson, and LaVon Barbie. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
President Martin?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have permission to speak on the same subject as the two previous gentlemen.
That would be introduction to guests, and I did it on the trail. You have the floor.
I have no guests, sir, but the two gentlemen from Juneau, one permanent fund.
You have the floor.
Thank you. So it's nice to ask for a poll, especially when you feel indecisive and unable to make a decision. In our country, we have representative government, and it's worked fairly well for over 200 years. You only ask for a poll when you have the upper hand. In this particular case, last year, I know I pursued the situation to ask for a vote of the people in the last general election on this year. Others have too, but if everyone will well recall, those who are here, that bill came to us at 2:30 in the morning. Many people didn't know the details. Even the sponsor of the bill didn't know the detail pertaining to military people or the unborn children or children per se. There was a lot of homework and committee work done after we got out of session. The main thing is that to ask for a vote right now in 1984 general election, where the law is only 3 years, and so it's over with by then. And number two, as the gentleman from Juneau said, he has some good statistics on how people didn't want the money spent. I think we ought to go back to basics. Why did we have the permanent fund dividend or the permanent fund in the first place? To develop revenues for the state on ongoing years when we will have sudden drops in the revenue. Just last week, the Department of Revenue showed us that our expected revenues have dropped almost $200 million from what we anticipated. I think that a lot of people who do not realize, and maybe a lot of new people in this state, sir, do not realize that they are getting a bonus today. They are getting part of the royal from the state, because they should look at the paycheck every week, every month, whenever they get a paycheck. They see no state taxes being paid. That's over $300 million, Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen, that the people are receiving. No state taxes. You also have a tremendous decrease in certain areas in personal property taxes. And that's only because we've increased through revenue sharing allotments to municipalities, local cities, and even unorganized boroughs. Some of the smallest boroughs get $25,000 every year, so they are receiving those share. My concern about the giveaway program, and I really mean it's a giveaway program, is that the senior representative from Juneau says that it's the people's portion. Well, what people? The present people or the future people? We meant this for the future. We meant it so that we would not be forced into personal income tax again. We would not be forced into raising property taxes for the young students getting out of college today, the young students getting out of high school. This is their portion of the program. The gentleman also mentioned that we're going to, there's other choices, and I'd like to give people a choice, a voucher system, but the opportunity passed last year when those who were pushing this would not go for a vote of the people. They say, we have guts enough to make a decision. I made a decision. And it was the opposite of what they were. When we talk about the budget, the past, the people want to know what they're getting for their money. All right, we have $170 million right now available to continue to give out. Next year, it'll be $200 a check instead of $300, and then the program's over with. But in the meantime, we talk about education, we talk about revenue sharing. We also better talk about the cost of government. And immediately, I think the people are going to see they're going to be forced in to more property taxes or personal income tax if they do not take into consideration, and if this body does not take into consideration some major things facing us. Last year, we had $1.7 billion budget. By the constitutional mandate that the people passed, which I very strongly support, the most we can do is a 5.3 increase in the operation budget, which gives us about a $1.98 billion budget. Now, that sounds easy. We got $200 million to spend over last year. Let's take into consideration what people have been demanding. The public employees just recently settled a contract. Part of it is in House Bill 227 that came from the governor. In that, they need $56 million that we need to appropriate for the settlement of the contract from January the 1st to June 30. If we automatically pass that, ladies and gentlemen, that means $112 million next year's budget. So we're already up to $180 million in addition to what was expected in branching out programs. We also have a very serious concern that the senior citizen from, or representative from Juneau mentioned, and that is to, that is the adjustments that need to be made in the benefits and annuity and pension program. That bill there, sir, is about $121 million if we take it in one packet. You know, we've already blown the constitutional limit. The League of Municipal League came down last year demanding that they get the full funding for the revenue sharing. That's a minimum of $80 million in addition to what they're getting now. That is to reduce personal property taxes. We see the school administrations already are coming up with new revised programs. In order to give them the full complement of the foundation funding, it would probably be another $90 million without any additional service whatsoever to the public. So when we talk about the people's money, what people? The people who are working in the system who demand higher and higher and higher increases in services or in pay and benefits, and yet, you know, who are we serving? I think we got a serious problem here. If you want to go broke this year, beautiful. Let's okay all these things. We've disobeyed the constitutional amendment. And then next year, when we are truly out of money, then we can almost, well, we won't have much of a choice except cut the government in half. So it sounds simple. Let's give all the money to the people. But I think we should educate them in knowing what they're already receiving. Thank you.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I speak on the same subject?
Just briefly. You have the floor, Representative Herbert.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I noticed there was some concern here about revenue sharing relieving people of their property taxes. And I think that's what revenue sharing was envisioned doing at the start, but it never has been that way, as I recall, and there's been a lot of people object because of that. One way of surely making sure of that is leave the permanent fund dividend in people's hands, and they can pay their own property tax with it.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd ask permission to respond to the question asked by the representative from Anchorage.
You have the floor, Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the representative from Anchorage made reference to my terminology, the people's portion, and then he said, what people? Mr. Speaker, all the people, every single one of them, all the citizens of Alaska. This program, unique among all the programs in the state of Alaska, gives every citizen an equal share of the benefits of their oil wealth. There's not a single other program in this state, Mr. Speaker, that has that fine attribute. All the people, today, 1983, 1984, and on into the future, those are the people. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furnish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission of the floor to speak on smokescreen.
You have the floor, Representative Furnish.
Mr. Speaker, I think we all acknowledge that the permanent fund program is a great concern. So is the residency programs and those concerns. It kind of upsets me, Mr. Speaker, when certain members of this body, especially from the other party, they appear to have the priorities somewhat mixed up. And we talk about the people, and we talk about the concerns of the people. And as I mentioned before, I think we're all concerned with those two programs. But I would think here that there is one other thing that the other party has not dwelled on. That is a concern that affects everyone in our communities. And that's crime, Mr. Speaker. When we visit our home communities and we simply go through the paper, and I'll just share a couple examples of that. February 18th in Kenai, big article. Robbery wipes out fur dealer. Some $375,000 lost there. The Anchorage paper. Assault suspect arrested. Drunk driver arrested. Wasilla, man convicted of child molestation. And we're all very aware of the incident in McCarthy just the other day. Mr. Speaker, I guess what I want to say here, just in a brief summary, is that, granted, we're concerned with the permanent fund distribution, we're concerned with the residency, but the majority of this body, of this floor, is addressing this. We're addressing those concerns right now. And I guess what I would like to see is for the minority party to stop smoke screening, and let's deal with the real issue. The real issue is crime within our communities. And that's what we ought to be dealing with. I had my staff do a report, Mr. Speaker, on the bills that are currently in the various committees dealing with crime. And I note here that there are 21 bills, including HB 6, the drunk driver's bill, HB 87, bills concerning sexual offense, sexual abuse of minors, and also the crime lab piece of legislation. 21 pieces of legislation currently entered by the majority of this body. I'm sad to say, Mr. Speaker, that only one bill by the minority that's having to do with beekeepers. I'm sure that's important. But the main issue that I think this body ought to be looking at, in addition to the permanent fund, again, which we know has been handled, in addition to the residency requirement, let's deal with the crime. Every member of this state has a problem with crime, and that's the real issue. And I think this body ought to get on to it and stop the smoke screening. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak on the hazards of misplaced magnetism.
You have the floor, Representative Flood.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak today on the insipid dangers of creeping misplaced magnetism. As any school child learns, magnetism can be a very good thing. And we all know that magnetism picks up certain objects, including sound, especially when magnetism is applied in the use of audio tape recording. Therein really lies the hazards of magnetism. We have all had to be very careful to avoid contact with any misplaced magnetism that might be floating around in an office or in a briefcase. Now, I've done some research concerning the avoidance of stray or misplaced magnetism, and most of that information has come from the Washington Post. First, when you feel that you've come in contact with any misplaced magnetism, you can usually tell because the hairs on the back of your neck stand on end, and the top of your briefcase may be slightly raised. must be careful not to say anything that will disturb magnetism. Some of the words to avoid are confirmation, appropriation, allocation, and or fundraising. Second, remember that you have nothing to fear from misplaced magnetism if you stand very still for a period of time not to exceed 90 minutes or the lifespan of the average C-cell battery. Mr. Speaker, if any of my colleagues are interested in obtaining any further information concerning the avoidance of misplaced magnetism, I would highly recommend reading the following article, The Quiet Man by 3M, All's Quiet on the Western Front by Scotchbrand, and All of the President's Men by Woodward and Bernstein. Thank you, sir.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I have the floor to talk about dividends and the polls.
You have the floor, Representative Phillips.
First of all, Mr. Speaker, I want to apologize to this body for I was out of order earlier in expressing my concern about this letter. But I want to get on to it right now under special orders. I just don't want this letter here, at least the third paragraph, imply that my constituency support the permanent dividend program. Now, as most of you know, that I sent out questionnaires, and this is the seventh year I've been doing this. We've had mailed out 4,300 mailers or questionnaires to 4,300 households, and I got over 1,000 back, which is about a 23% return rate, and it's very, very good. It's an excellent return rate for a mailer. In that, of those who returned it, 62% of my constituency at least indicated to me that they wanted the permanent fund dividend repealed. I have no problems with this advisory vote that's being proposed. It is people's money, and they should be the ones that decide this. But I, you know, I tried my best to find out what's going on in my constituency, and I can only read what they tell me in those questionnaires, and they're telling me that they favor the repeal by almost 2-1.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission to speak on constituent opinion and the permanent fund dividend.
You have the floor, Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a letter from a constituent, Lance Parrish, a member of the law firm of Parrish Law Office. Dear Representative Kopanen, I am writing to express my concern on two issues which are before you now. The first is the issue of whether or not to repeal the $700 million deposit which was pledged to the permanent fund of the last legislature. The second is the continuation of the permanent fund dividend program. I strongly oppose the repeal of the $700 million deposit. I strongly oppose putting any more money into capital projects other than that which we can currently fund with this year's revenue after the deposit has been made. I realize that the state's projections are not as high as they were when the $700 million was committed. Nonetheless, I would rather see that money in the permanent fund where it can protect Alaskans against the cost of maintaining many of the capital projects which have already been funded. Furthermore, if the money is available, it will be spent. If the money is not available, the legislature will have to take a closer look at which projects should and should not be funded. And only the most worthwhile projects will be funded with the money available after the deposit has been made to the permanent fund. Secondly, although up until very recently I have been adamantly opposed to the permanent fund dividend program for a number of reasons, including how it makes Alaska look to the other states, in light of the many projects which I have seen in Fairbanks and in Anchorage, I would rather see the money earned by the permanent fund given back to the people to spend or waste as they see fit, rather than spent on expensive projects or given to cities or boroughs to spend on expensive projects. It is time for Alaskan people to tighten their belts. Alaska can have sustained economic growth, albeit at a lower level, without the need to pump additional hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into projects. Everyone realizes that the oil money is going to run out. It's time to quit funding every whim and to tighten up on the giveaway programs. It's time to ease Alaskans back into the reality of the true cost of housing in other states' subsidized expenses. I've talked with many people concerning this and specifically have the authority to indicate that the other members of my family, including those listed on this letterhead, support these positions. Thank you for your consideration, and I urge you to vote in accordance with these thoughts. I've been involved both professionally in the past and also politically in my campaign with polls. And polls are interesting things. They can be very accurate, they can be very inaccurate. But even the most accurate poll that you can take reflects the changing opinion at that particular moment. Have none of you ever changed your mind about anything? Sometimes I have changed my mind three times before sitting down. Other times I have adamantly stuck to things that I learned from my grandfather. So you can't always tell where you're going to be at one point from another. People's minds do change. And what has impressed me is the spectrum of opinion. The people from whom I've received POMs, letters, and the like have been liberals and intellectuals on the one hand, extreme conservatives on the other hand, people who have no particular opinion about anything else except the permanent fund dividend. The entire spectrum of Alaskan opinion is reflected in this. And that is the thing that impresses me. And many of these are people who this summer urged changes, this past summer urged changes when I was campaigning. And I did not campaign on keeping the dividend program. I campaigned on putting it to more useful purposes. And frankly, my constituents have been telling me that they may have agreed with me last summer, but they don't see any more useful purposes coming down the pike at this time. Thank you.
Representative Ewing.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I ask the privilege of the floor to speak on the permanent fund dividend program.
You have the floor, Representative Ewing.
I'm just going to reiterate what everybody else has said this morning, a little bit on the permanent fund program. But last year in my campaigning on a door-to-door basis, it was very evident to me that the people of the District 12 wanted to repeal the permanent fund dividend program, at least the cash program, $1,000 that went out to each and every citizen. However, in the last 3 to 4 weeks, it's become very evident that all of the mail, almost practically all of my mail, has been such, which is to keep the program intact. And I think one of the fallacies probably behind it is the fact that some people don't realize it is going to be $250 to $350 this next year. However, as the representative from Eagle River has stated, he has some options on a questionnaire and some statistics. I, too, have just sent out a questionnaire to 5,700 people in District 12, and I will be awaiting that answer, and I hope that this body will make a decision sometime this session in the next couple of weeks in regard to the permanent fund dividend program. Thank you.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, ordinarily I try not to speak too often, and I'm sure the members of the majority in particular appreciate that fact, but I'd like to speak now, Mr. Speaker, on the subject of smoke screens. The Speaker, representative from Anchorage, rose a minute ago to talk on smoke screens, and Mr. Speaker, in all honesty, that was a very accurate title for him to give his talk, because we're talking about permanent fund dividends, we're talking about the people's money, and he wants to talk about crime. I've never seen a better example of a smoke screen. Mr. Speaker, I do not think that the members of this House are so limited in their comprehension abilities that they can't deal with several subjects this year. Maybe not as many as some of us in the minority would like for the body to deal with, but several subjects. I can't think, Mr. Speaker, that we can't deal with the permanent fund dividend program and address the problem of crime in Alaska. I've never heard it before expressed in this body that we had to make that choice. At certain times in the progress of this legislature, we're going to address the problem of crime, I presume. You, at least, Mr. Speaker, have the reins of government in your hand in order to put that question before us. But I hope, Mr. Speaker, that with those same reins of government in your hand, you will also put before us this legislation, which will let the people express their thoughts on the permanent fund. And indeed, if we're going to talk about crime, lots of people think it's kind of a crime that we're talking about taking the money out of our pocketbook that they've come to expect. We passed the legislation creating the permanent fund. We said this is the people's money. And now they're saying, they're seeing that we're going to reach in there and take the money out that we've promised them. I think some people think that's one of the elements of a crime, if I could put it in quotes, Mr. Speaker, although I'm strictly speaking in quotes in that respect. Mr. Speaker, I also would want to say that in 13 years in this legislature, I've never heard it expressed before that any member thinks one all wisdom in the area of, for instance, of something as important as crime lies on one side of the aisle or another. In the years I've been in this legislature, Mr. Speaker, I have never said that the members of the opposition, whether they be in a minority or a majority position at that time, have no interest in one of the most important items before us. We may differ slightly from time to time, or indeed we may agree 100% on how we're going to deal with those issues, including the various issues of crime. But I know, Mr. Speaker, that when you were in the minority and we had the reins of government on our hand, you had genuine interest in all the subjects that were before us, including the subject of crime on the street. And I can assure the representative from Anchorage that long before he was in this body, and perhaps after he left this body, the Democratic minority, or majority as the case may be, will continue to be, as it has been, and always has been, and will be interested in the subject of making sure that the people of Alaska are safe in their streets and in their homes. And let there be no mistake about that, that is not a Republican priority item. The Democrats of this nation and of this state and in every district in here have shared, I'd say, approximately equally with the Republicans, that concern of the people. No side of the aisle has a majority of interest in that area, and I have to say that I'm a little bit miffed that one member would imply that they have a majority of the virtue in this issue. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to make one comment on crime?
You have the floor, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The minority leader was just very eloquent in his assurance to us that we can note with pleasure that every piece of crime legislation that comes on the floor, we will have his and the minority's support. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Representative Barnes. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like the privilege of the floor to speak on grand larceny and other crimes.
You have the floor, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think that minority leader is right in his discussion of the possibility of the seal of the permanent fund dividend money, and that some people might consider that a crime in nature, grand larceny. But, Speaker, the question of crime is dealt with by more than legislation. We have some pretty adequate laws in the books right now. 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 more bills may help solve some of the problems. Mr. Speaker, but one of the things we're going to have to do there is put our money where our mouth is, and I would suggest to the newer members of the House of Representatives that they determine for themselves why deliberate underfunding for the State Department of Public Safety, for example, is now a condition of the state budget. And I think that's something that might merit some discussion in future times. So, Mr. Speaker, on the question of grand larceny, right now under the permanent fund dividend program, I think people will acknowledge we have probably the most equitable benefit distribution of all the programs in the state. The converse of that, Mr. Speaker, if we were to repeal that program without the advice and consent of the people of Alaska, would be the equivalent of imposing an income tax on the order of about $300 for the current year on every man, woman, and child in the state, regardless of their ability to pay. And, Mr. Speaker, I don't think that's good public policy, and I would recommend the members request they give serious consideration to the legislation introduced today.
Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the floor to speak on voluntary health promotion program?
You have the floor, Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hate to change the subject, but the matter of health involves people on one side of the aisle and the other side of the aisle, and those who sometimes find themselves lying in the aisle. And I would like to bring to your attention something that was put in our mailboxes yesterday by my distinguished colleague from Nome, which has to do with the voluntary health program. And I very strongly urge you to contact him, those of you who have the various functional system difficulties that have been brought to my attention as the unofficial ex officio family practitioner in this distinguished body. At various times, people have complained of insomnia, committee meeting-induced narcolepsy, rapid pulse, breathlessness, impaired memory, dry mouth, especially when talking under special orders, loss of libido, satyriasis, and nymphomania, most of which will disappear when we get home after the session is over. But I would very strongly urge that you look at this piece of mail that the distinguished colleague from Nome put out, and those of you who have these problems would arrange with him to have this nurse, Miss Marion Mann, see that you're guided in the proper direction so that we can face these difficult decisions that we have to make with efficiency and aplomb. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson. Mr. Speaker, may I request the privilege of the floor to speak on crime legislation? You have the floor, Representative Clarkson. Mr. Speaker, I don't want to prolong this, but just in brief response to the member who sits behind me, I have reviewed the list that he presented to us, the list of crime legislation, and I think it's important for this body to note that only one piece of crime legislation has yet passed this body, and it's the one piece of legislation on his list sponsored by a member of the minority, the member from CNAP.
Are there further special orders? Representative Malone?
Mr. Speaker, I don't know the intention of the majority leader, but I would like to make an announcement before the adjournment motion.
The floor, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Because of the time, we'll be moving the schedule on the Democratic Minority Caucus to 5 p.m. this afternoon.
Representative Duncan?
We have it, please.
All three senators. We're still under special orders. Are there further special orders?
Before I ask the majority leader for a motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. Friday, is there any further business to come before the body? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask the unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday, March the 11th, 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. Friday.